is where we're going to start this morning, in Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter rich in men of faith and women of faith, great Christian characters, a place where we could spend quite a bit of time looking at each of these characters this morning. It's good to have some visitors here. Is there anyone left in New South Wales? Most of them are here today, aren't they? It's good to have you here with us. Let's have a look then at these first six verses, and I want to have a look at the character of Enoch this morning. Perhaps not one of the characters that you would spend a lot of time reading about. His story doesn't go on for chapters and chapters like some of the characters, perhaps like Noah or Abraham or even some of those other Old Testament characters. But we're going to have a look, just a quick look this morning, at this character called Enoch. And I've entitled the sermon, A Walk with Enoch. And I need to add another little bit to the end of that. A walk with Enoch is a walk with God. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. I have 4 points, all beginning with P, and I'll tell you about those in just a minute. Let's read these first six verses of Hebrews chapter 11, shall we? Verse 1, the word of the Lord says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's just bow in a time of prayer before we look into this character of Enoch. Lord, we just come humbly before you this morning and ask, Lord God, that our hearts would be open to the teaching of your Spirit. Lord, the teaching of your word, which is truth. We pray, Lord God, that our minds would be fixed on the things above and not things here, Father. Our hearts would have that desire to learn of you, we pray. Pray, Lord God, that your word would open up as a beacon of light to us now, and we'd ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do we know about this man called Enoch? And as I said, there's not chapter after chapter about Enoch. In fact, there's a handful of verses that we find in God's word that point us to this man named Enoch. Yet, he's mentioned here in this 11th chapter of Hebrews as one of the elders that obtained a good report. Each of us would like that, wouldn't we? We'd like to obtain a good report, whether that be at school, whether we're going to the doctors for a checkup, we'd like a good report. And here we find this man Enoch obtaining that good report because he was a man that walked with God. That should be our desire too. And as we look at these 4 points I'm going to tell you about in a moment, I want us to be able to grasp a hold of this and hope that we get just that little bit closer to walk with the Lord. There are 4 things that I want to look at in relation to Enoch. First of all, I want to look at Enoch's possession. Then, Enoch's partnership. Enoch's profession. And then finally, the 4th point, Enoch's prospect. But just a little bit about this man named Enoch. Who was he? We do know he's mentioned in that 11th chapter. But this isn't the first mention. The first mention of him we find back in Genesis chapter 5. So let's turn back to Genesis chapter 5. Now there is another fellow by the name of Enoch who's mentioned in Genesis chapter 4. This isn't the Enoch of Hebrews 11. He was actually, I think he was, Hebrews chapter 4 verses 17 and 18. He was the son of Cain, had a city named after him. Wasn't the Enoch that we're looking at today. But the first mention of Enoch here is in Genesis chapter 5, and let's read some verses here, beginning at verse 18. We find out a little bit about the background of Enoch. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Twice here we find that little statement, Enoch walked with God. You might brush it aside when you read it first of all in that earlier verse. But then it reiterates, it restates it, and makes it important to us because it mentions it two times now. Enoch was someone who walked with God. We want to concentrate a little bit about that this morning. Enoch was the son of Jared, and he was the father of Methuselah, who we know lived the longest here on earth, over 900 years. Jude tells us in Jude that he was the seventh, which meant he was the seventh generation from Adam. Okay? His name, Enoch, means disciplined. It means dedicated. In fact, it means to train up. And if we turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, we quickly turn there. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, it is the same Hebrew root word as we read here in this very well-known verse. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Enoch's name means the same thing as train up. So it's something we shouldn't be doing. We should be Enoching our children. Enoching our children, training them up. And as we look at Enoch's character, we can say, yeah, that's something we should aim for. Not only in our children's lives, but in our lives as well. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Something we should really aspire to. He was a contemporary of Adam. Enoch was alive when Adam was alive. Now that's pretty interesting when you have a little bit of a think about it and dwell on that for a moment. What would it be like to be alive when Adam was alive? In fact, Adam was 622 years old when Enoch was born. So for about 300 years, Enoch was around with Adam. Now, I don't know whether they lived in the same street, the same city, but I'm sure that Enoch knew that's Adam. That's Adam. His was the first created. That's Adam. God created him from the dust of the earth. And I'm sure Enoch, over those 300 years when he was alive, when Adam was alive together, that they would have spent some time discussing these things. I'm sure they would have spent some time and telling stories about creation. And I'm sure Adam would have pointed out to him, hey Enoch, disobedience is the wrong way to go. Disobedience causes damage. Disobedience is sin. Be careful, Enoch. Can you see Adam talking to little Enoch and telling him about that? Can you see Adam talking to Enoch about God's faithfulness and God's power and God's goodness and God's forgiveness as Enoch grew? I'm sure those things happened. For 300 years, I'm sure they had some interesting conversations. He was also a contemporary of Noah. And he lived alongside Noah. So therefore, we can gather that the times of Enoch probably were very similar to the times of Noah. And we know what those times were like. In Genesis chapter 6, it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. They were the times of Noah. Enoch lived in these similar times. Wasn't a great time probably to be around. But Enoch would have been a great character to be around. Because we know the testimony of Scripture concerning Enoch, and as we look at that this morning, I hope we are blessed and we can see that he was different to those characters of his time. He was different, probably in a similar vein to Adam. And this is probably where Adam and Enoch come close together, because we know that Adam literally walked with the Lord in the garden, didn't he? And then we find here it says that Enoch was one who walked with the Lord as well. We know he was the father of Methuselah, and Methuselah lived three times longer than his dad did, because we find that Enoch only had a short time on the earth. He lived for 365 years, and that's a pittance compared to what everybody else was living at that time. Enoch was only 365 years on the earth. But in that short time on the earth, he possessed something that not many of his time, and even up until the time of Noah and even now, possessed. So what was it? Our first point. What was it that Enoch possessed? What was Enoch's possession? Back in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us what his possession was. It tells us here in verses 5 and 6 that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then this really pivotal, important verse in chapter 11. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What was it that Enoch possessed? Well, we know for a start, number one, it must have been faith. It must have been faith, or else Enoch wouldn't have been here in chapter 11, this group of faithful men. He had faith. How did he get that faith? It tells us here, it is impossible to please God without faith. He must have pleased God. He was a pleaser of God. He obtained that good report because he pleased God. He possessed a living, walking faith with his Lord. And if Enoch had an epitaph, and you think about that, he never had an epitaph because he didn't have a gravestone. He never died, did he? So he didn't have an epitaph. If he had an epitaph, it might have said something like this. He was a God pleaser, a man of good report who walked with the Lord. That would have been a great epitaph to have, wouldn't it? Something that we can aspire to. Something that Enoch could have had if he died. But he didn't die. So no epitaph for Enoch. He was one that diligently sought the Lord in everything that he did. Not just a saving faith. Not just a saving faith, because faith is a way of living out what salvation gives. I'll say that again. Faith is a way of living out what salvation gives. And this was something that Enoch had. This was something that Enoch lived. He lived his faith. It tells us in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things that which do appear. Enoch would have learnt that by faith. He would have learnt it firsthand from Adam. We've talked about that already, how he would have said, well, Adam, what happened? And Adam would have been able to give him a first-hand description of what happened in the beginning. It tells us here also that Enoch believed this. He knew this. He had faith that believed that God created the earth. Many today have great difficulty in understanding this. And probably it's due to a lack of faith. Due to a lack of faith. And the scriptures just simply says this to be the case. If you can't believe God created the earth literally, you're lacking something. You're lacking faith. If we simply take God at his word and place our faith in him, we too can be like Enoch, someone who pleases the Lord. A pleaser who possessed a good report. One who believed the literal beginning of this universe at the hand of a great God and creator. One who walked by faith and not by sight. God always honours faith. And faith always honours God. God saves on the basis of this faith. A faith which Enoch possessed. If salvation or faith were based on works, and then there would be problems, wouldn't there? Men would come in and try and take the credit. And we can see that happening time after time in the scriptures, where men tried to take the credit for things that God had done. They weren't going out in faith. If salvation were based on works and not faith, men would try and claim their share of the credit. But we must remember this. We must remember that God will not allow flesh to glory in his presence. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16 it says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." God doesn't glory in those times. No one is justified, saved by faith through the law or the flesh. And it was the same with Enoch. His faith was a spiritual thing. It wasn't a thing of the flesh. And the same happens right through this chapter 11 of Hebrews. Each one of these people saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Enoch pleased God because he believed God and possessed a believing, living, walking faith. God was the object and focus of Enoch's faith and walk. Is this faith something you possess and have claimed ownership of? You might say, yes, I'm saved. But have you claimed ownership of that faith? Is it that thing that you do? Because this is what Enoch had. And because he possessed this faith, he had a very real day-to-day partnership with God. And this is point number two, Enoch's partnership. If we turn back to Genesis chapter 5, we'll read some verses here. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah." Enoch walked with God. And then down in verse 24 again, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Enoch walked with God. What did this walk, what did this intimate possession, this partnership involve? What is this walking business all about? It tells us in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" A fairly short but very pointed verse. Can two walk together? Could God and Enoch walk together unless they were at one? Could Enoch and God have walked together unless they agreed? And we know that this verse here talks about, it's a little bit of a reference to coming together in marriage. Can two to walk together unless they be agreed? It was that intimate, Enoch's walk with God. His partnership was that intimate. They agreed. Enoch agreed with God. Enoch took God at his word. He listened to what God had to say and was in complete agreement. They were as one. Enoch took God at his word and obeyed his word. They were in a partnership. They were heading in the same direction. They were having close communion. He was in perfect communion with God. He had a perfect fellowship. It was the same place that you and I can be found. If we turn to the book of 1 John, we can see this. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. We can see that this is a place that you and I can be as well. It's just not for those people in Hebrews chapter 11, it's for us as well. It says here there, but if we, if you and I, walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. We're in that place of light. We're in that place of close fellowship. We have that same partnership, that same walking together, that same agreement that Enoch had. How close is your walk? How close is your walk? Is it like Enoch's, where I'm sure that he would have shunned the things of the world in his day? He would have shunned those things. He would have been in agreement with the holy God that there are these things that are holy and we shouldn't take a separate stand against things of the world. I'm sure that's where Enoch would have stood. Is that where you stand? We have that opportunity. We have that opportunity, as 2 Corinthians tells us, to come out from among them. Be different. Be ye separate. Be different. Don't agree with them. Agree with God. Walk with him. Be in fellowship with him. How close is your walk? Is your walk marked by your agreement with God and your disagreement, your separation from the world? Is your partnership like this? Go back to that 2 Corinthians I just quoted small bits of. The second part of that in verse 2 Corinthians 6:18 says this. If you do this, if you separate yourself from the things of the world, if you shun the things of the world, and it says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What other closer walk can you get than that of having a father and son, father and daughter, mother and daughter, a family, close-knit relationship? What better partnership could you have with your heavenly Father? Is your partnership with God that close, fatherly son and daughter relationship? Enoch's was, and he set the example of faith for us. He had this profession, which is point number four. He had this profession and this testimony. What was Enoch's profession? What was it? Now, you might think about it as this. What was Enoch's job? Think of it as a noun, his profession. What did he do? He had 365 years to do something. What was his job? What did he do? We read about people in the Bible. This was their job. This is what they did. What was his profession? You can think of it as a noun, or you can think of it as a verb. Yeah. What did he go about doing day after day after day? What was his testimony? What was it? Let's turn to the book of Jude, shall we? The book of Jude. And have a look. As I said, there's only a very few passages that mention this man named Enoch. Very few verses. So we can only glean a few things about Enoch, but they're amazing things that we can apply to our lives. In Jude, and verse 14, it tells us this about Enoch's profession. Now, whether you want to think about that as a noun or a verb, it doesn't matter, because they're both the same. It says here, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against of him. This was Enoch's profession. What was it as a noun? What did he do? Very similar to Noah. He was a prophet. Okay? He was a prophet. That was his job. He was a prophet. He prophesied. He preached. He pointed out God's plan. And I'm sure when we think about this is what Noah did as well, I'm sure at times these guys did it together because they were contemporaries with each other. Sure, they got together and had times of fellowship, had times when they went out and told others about God's plan. And what was God's plan? We read a little bit about it here. Did he not pull away from the truth of God's plan? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Enoch actively went about telling others about what God had planned. What God's plan was for the world that they were living in. And I'm sure he would have got excited as he talked to Noah. And Noah shared some things with Enoch about God's plan too. I'm sure they would have got excited about what they could go out and accomplish for God. He pointed out, Enoch and Noah pointed out the wickedness of that day. Not just by the lifestyle that he lived, by the way he separated from them, but verbally as well. He went out and told people. He wasn't out there sitting on a pole somewhere or monkeying about in a cave. He didn't separate himself physically from people. He went out and made sure he told them what was going on. He was out there putting legs and actions on his faith. Because that's what faith is all about. Sharing and caring. It tells us that in James chapter 2, this about faith. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. This is what Enoch was all about. This is what Enoch's walk with the Lord helped him to do. This is what Enoch did. This is what his profession was. He went out and told people about his faith. He told people about his close walk with the Lord. He told people about a coming judgment. He told people about their sin. He pointed those things out. And Enoch showed evidence of this faith by a righteous and consistent lifestyle before others. And as we said, got together probably with Noah and did that because Noah did the same sorts of things. And sadly, it's unlike some preachers today and probably in those times too who just like to preach just on the smooth things for those with itching ears. Only preach about really just the love of God instead of the holiness and the righteousness and the goodness of God and the judgment of God. And I'm sure that Enoch would have preached about that holiness of God in relation to repentance and faith. God disdains sin. And Enoch would have preached that and said there's a day of coming judgment. It's coming because of the wickedness of men. I wonder if our lives reflect that. Is it something that we've just got, yeah, we know it's going to happen, but we don't really worry about telling anybody about it? We're not off on some pole somewhere. We need to have legs on our faith too. Is God's holy character, God's love reflected in our profession, what we do? Because that's what Enoch's profession was. It reflected that light, that close fellowship he had with the Lord. He was able to communicate to others God's love. He was able to communicate to others God's future judgment. If we possess Christ, we must also profess Christ with a living, not dead, faith, as Enoch did. And this is why Enoch walked actively with God, and eventually he was rewarded with a glorious prospect. And that's point number four. What could he see? What was it that he saw as his reward? What was Enoch's prospect? It says he walked with God for 365 years. Now, we're not going to get a scratch on that, are we? Really, when we think about it. Okay, some of us might make three score and ten. But here was Enoch walking with the Lord. He said He did it for 365 years. 300 years. But in comparison to most around him, we've got to remember he didn't live that long. He wasn't on this earth that long. And his was such a close walk in a wicked place that he was rewarded with a very glorious prospect. Let's look at this verse again in Jude, where we are here, Jude 14. And it said here, this was Enoch's prospect. It says here, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, here's his first prospect. Behold, the Lord cometh. That's a pretty grand prospect. Enoch said, the Lord's coming. Is that a prospect that you hold? Do you look forward to that time when the Lord comes? Do you look forward to that time when the Lord is going to return for you, whether it's through death or through, as very similar to Enoch translation, in the rapture? Do you look forward to that time? Do you think about that time? Is that a time that really encourages you? Is that a time that really encourages you to encourage others? If we turn back, and we should turn back to the book of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1, this is something that Paul encouraged the Thessalonians with. Now, Enoch had this faith that something he hadn't seen before, that the Lord is coming. And if we look here, here's a testimony at the beginning of the book of Thessalonians of the Apostle Paul about the Thessalonians. Okay, I was going to read 10 verses, but I'll just skip down to verse 10. That's the important verse. You might want to look through that a little bit later on. Just Paul giving the Thessalonians a good pat on the back and an encouragement that they were good examples to those around them. And then he says this at the end. He says this in verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. This was at the forefront of the Thessalonians' thoughts, that Jesus was coming again. And we know, of course, if we turned over a few chapters to chapter 4, we find once again Paul talks about that to the Thessalonians. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, just like Enoch was, translated up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord forever. There's another prospect Enoch had. Not only that the Lord was coming, yes, he was coming in judgment, but here's another prospect that Enoch had and received a glorious reward because he walked with the Lord for those 300 years that the Lord came and took him and translated him, removed him from the earth as a testimony to us. As a testimony to us. So I want to ask you again this morning, and remind you again, are these things that we've talked about yours? A walk with Enoch is a walk with God. Do you possess a great faith? Is it a growing faith? Is it a faith that's alive in action? Do you partner up and agree with God? Do you have that partnership as Enoch did? Do you put your faith into action as a profession? Is it something you're known for? Or are you just known as the bloke that builds houses, or, you know, the fellow who drives trucks, or, you know, fellow who digs dirt and shears sheep? Or is your profession, is what people know you for, your great faith? Do you have a firm prospect? of being with the Lord when he comes? Is that something that you really cling to? Is that something that you really bring before others and tell others and encourage others for? So what is it? What is your prospect? Is it a closer walk? Is it a closer communion, an eternity with the Lord? Now, some people have a bleak prospect, don't they? That prospect that Enoch wasn't scared to tell others about coming judgment. But for me, for you that know the Lord, we have a very blessed hope. We have a great prospect, as did Enoch, and that is the coming of the Lord. It's one that we should be like the Thessalonians. We really want that. We want to be able to comfort people. We want to be able to encourage people about it. So has Enoch trained you up this morning? Has he drawn you closer to the Lord? Has he encouraged you to walk that little bit closer to the Lord? Let's remember then, a walk with Enoch is a walk with the Lord. Let's take our hymn book, shall we?